Now, with that said, my mom sent me and my wife, and maybe posted it, and some of y'all might have seen it, something that touched her heart a week or so ago. And when it touches her heart and she sent it to me, it obviously touched mine. And I said, hey, don't send that to nobody so I can preach on it. And she said, too late. She said, too late. But I want to minister on it. Everything we do, we do because of a relationship. Because of the Jesus that lives on the inside of all of us. And again, if you are not born again, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell when you leave this earth. You've got to give your heart to Jesus. You may know about Him, but do you know Him? Because there's something about relationship. And so when Mom sent me a very, very familiar scriptures found in the book of Psalms, if you have a Bible, begin to turn to the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm. Because if you don't understand relationship, you're going to be living of the world when the Word of God says you need to live in the world but not of the world. And I pray, well, I don't, I know what I'm going to pray. I pray, though, that this message gets a hold of every one of us to understand that having a relationship with your God through Jesus, the Savior, is going to change your life. Because when you have a true relationship with Him, then the Scriptures come alive in your life. I'm talking about when you see a Scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, it's going to mean something to you. But when you don't really have a relationship with Him, I'm not saying that you haven't given your heart to Him. I'm never going to judge someone's salvation. I've preached this for 30 years now. I'm not going to judge your salvation. I mean, all of you know of the prostitute woman that came into one of my services in Amarillo and sat on the front row, remember? And she gave her heart to Jesus, but she cried the whole service. When I watched her come in the side door, and I watched her sit to my left, and I watched her cry when I started to sing, remember? And she gave her heart to Jesus at the end and then came to me excited about Jesus and how she had given her heart to Jesus. But let me tell you, she cussed like nobody's business right there. She said, I'm so excited. I don't have to blankety blank be around those blankety blank people any blankety blank longer. And those college kids that were around were like, oh! Now, a religious person would then say, well, she didn't really get saved. Because did you hear her talking? But in all reality, she was born again, but her mouth wasn't. But when does her mouth start talking different? When the Word of God gets put on the inside of the spirit man. When she starts reading this Bible and finding out that she has control over her tongue. It either speaks life or it speaks death. It'll speak the Word of God or it'll speak cursing. And you got to renew the mind in order for that to happen. Say amen to that, okay? And so I'm not going to judge someone's salvation just because they're not acting like a Christian at times. But when you give your heart to Jesus and you gain the knowledge of your Savior and the power, the dunamis power of God, then you start acting and talking different. And then, you know, you need to understand that there's judgment on your works. I mean, in other words, when you enter into the kingdom of God, you start changing your life to start operating like the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of the world. But you can't do that unless you renew your mind. So you come to church, you go to a Bible study or Bible studies, and you start learning, okay, who I am in Christ Jesus. Well, look at the very first scripture of Psalms 23. And I pray every one of you have a Bible, because it's not going to be up on the screen like most churches. I want you to bring your Bible. And I think until the Lord changes my heart on this, that we're not going to put it up here, because I want you to carry that word with you. I'm talking about, we have cowboy Bibles that we give all over the country at the national finals. I give cowboy Bibles or the college final. We try to take cowboy Bibles so that you can put them on the dash of your truck, because you're going to need that Bible, the Word, the sword, your sword, sometime, if not all the time. And you need to start carrying your Bible. And if you don't have one, we'll get you one. We'll help you. Amen. But you don't want to be a person that never carries your Word, because that's your source. That's your manual, as we understand. But look at Psalms chapter 23, verse 1. What does it say? Let me say it a little bit louder, because most of you said it. The Lord, well, who's Lord? Jesus, right? Not Muhammad. Not your job. Not Hare Krishna. Not some sacred cow that the Hindus worship. I rope them. I'm not trying to be tacky. I'm just saying, the Lord has to be Jesus, and there's got to be some boldness to that. Jesus. Not some denominations, not some preacher. Jesus. The one that gave His life, because I didn't, for the sake of the gospel. But man, Jesus did. The Lord is my shepherd. What does shepherd mean to you? Because when Mom sent me that little, set of scriptures that a lady had written down, she wrote, that's relationship. Your shepherd is a relationship, because you've got to have a relationship with your Savior. Because when you have a relationship with someone, you get to know them. You know what to say and what not to say when you really, truly know somebody. When you study out shepherd, you find out that the Word of God talks about the shepherd in three different ways. The very first way, the Bible in John chapter 10 verse 11 talks about the good shepherd. Or I like to say it like this, the redeeming shepherd. Because man, when you understand redemption, that your shepherd did for you individually, it'll change your life. It'll give you that power of God. And again, the power is a Greek word that means dunamis. And when you study out dunamis, it's the very same power. You have this power, y'all. The very same power that Jesus had when He was raised from the dead. And you've got that power living on the inside of you, because Jesus is Lord, you see. So He's the Redeemer. Good shepherd. John 10 and 11 says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Well, we are, through the Word of God, the sheep, that Jesus is the shepherd. Now, I understand that as the pastor of this particular church, I'm the shepherd, but I serve the shepherd, and so do you. And I need to shepherd the flock, which is you guys, the way God tells me to. But I've got to do it with the understanding that I'm serving the good shepherd, Jesus. He is our shepherd, and a good shepherd. How many of you know God's good, right? I mean, He's a wonderful, gracious God. He's so good that He redeemed us. Remember, the good shepherd is the redeeming shepherd when you study it out. And He redeemed us from the curse. We don't, again, live by the Old Testament law any longer. Thank God for all the teachings in the Old Testament that in the New Testament came to pass, praise God. But we've been redeemed from the curse that was in the New Testament that Jesus died for in the Old Testament, that Jesus died for in the New Testament. He's a good God. He redeemed us from that curse. So that the curse, even though it's around us all the time, the curse is debt. The curse is sickness. The curse is the works of the flesh. And Jesus then died, praise God. Woo-hoo! Jesus died and redeemed us from all of that. And then He gave us the work, the fruit of the Spirit. He gave us joy. He gave us peace. He gave us healing. See, that's what redemption is. That's why that word says in John that He's the redeeming good shepherd. He's also, number two, the resurrected great shepherd. I want you to turn to Hebrews in the Old Testament. And hopefully, I'm going to get through this one verse today. And then next week, we're going to go through the next parts of... Well, I'm only going to get through half of the verse, actually. And so, check out Hebrews, though. Go to the back of your Bible, and you'll get to Revelations, then head left, and you'll finally find Hebrews. And go to 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Now remember, we're talking about the Lord is my shepherd, and the shepherd is a relationship. We have to have a relationship with our shepherd. And He is, number two, the resurrected great shepherd. Hebrews chapter 13, and read with me verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, remember covenant means promise, right? Make you... Say me. That, because it's talking about you. It's talking about when you say me. That will make you complete. Say, I'm complete. In every good work to do His... That's capitalized, that H. That means Jesus. His will. Working in you what is well pleasing in His sight through who? Say it louder, y'all. Are y'all looking at this? Through Jesus. To whom be glory forever and ever. And then it ends the scripture with what? Amen. Well, what is amen? That's so be it. You see. So, our Jesus is not in the grave any longer. He's been resurrected, praise God. And He is the resurrected great shepherd. Come on, y'all. Man, when you understand this, that your shepherd that lives on the inside of you is great, then you won't fall for the old enemy trying to say because you made mistakes in the past that you're not worthy of the inheritance that God's called you to be in. You know, that's how I was raised. Oh, we're not worthy. You're not worthy. You're just a little old worm. Ha! I always say it like this, yo mama. Before Christ, you're not worthy. But with Christ, God has made you the righteousness of God in Christ. He has made you worthy. But see, the enemy then tries to tell us, well, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God. And what we do is we're then convinced that that's just part of life. We're all going to sin. Man, we do. We'd sin. Thank God there's grace and mercy and forgiveness, right? But when you understand shepherd, and you understand that Jesus is our shepherd that we serve, then you don't want to sin. You want to serve Him. And you can't serve Him and sin at the same time. I'm not saying you don't know Him and He's not the Lord of your life. That's when there's backslidden and then you got to come back, right? But see, what I want to minister to you is that your God, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood, through Jesus being raised from the dead, that's why He's the resurrected great shepherd. And here, Psalms 23 is trying to teach us, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd. But here's the third one, and I'll close. The third thing that when you talk about shepherd is the Word of God teaches that our shepherd is the returning chief shepherd. Look in 1 Peter. So just flip to your left and find 1 Peter. And I want you to see this now. So go First Peter. Come on. Where are you? I missed it. I know you're here. In the name of Jesus, come forth. Okay. I'm kidding, but okay, so 1 Peter is go to your right. I made y'all go to the left of where we were, my bad. So go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter, say amen if you're there. Amen. Say oh me if you're still looking. Okay, I'll wait on you just for a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 5. And religiously, don't be afraid to go to the front of the Bible and find out what page it's on. I don't mind that a bit. Look at, though, 1 Peter chapter 5 and look at verse 4. Y'all there? Look what it says. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Man, I would be clapping right there. Let me read it again so y'all be prepared now, okay? Ready? And when the chief shepherd, who's the shepherd? Jesus appears, because again, He's the returning. He's going to return one day, y'all. This is end times. He's the returning shepherd. And when He appears, you born again people, will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. You know what most Christians act like? That they don't deserve it. They don't deserve the good things from God. They're just trying to make heaven when they leave this earth. They're just hoping to, you know, for the Father to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the rest of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, heaven. And all they do on here then is try to figure out, I just want to go to heaven. When in all reality, if you would start changing your attitude of who you are in Christ, it will change everything about you, because then you'll start studying glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, when it talks about the chief shepherd in glory that will never fade away, I looked up that word glory, and it's a word in the Strong's Concordance that's doxa, D-O-X-A. I'm not for sure if it's a Greek or a Hebrew word. It really doesn't matter, because here's what it means. This word, or in the New Testament, we're a New Testament church, y'all. This word doxa becomes, this is you, ready? Splendor, radiance, majesty. Because see, when you see yourself as a king or a queen, in Christ Jesus. Remember, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Then it says it again, Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Listen to this. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. So with that name, Jesus, you're a king. Other kings will pass away, but God has called you as a king and a queen in Christ. Don't take away Christ, though, because then all the scriptures won't mean anything to you. You won't be able to say, I can do all things through me who gives me strength. No, you've got to say, I can do all things through Christ, see. So Jesus is our everything, and He's the returning. He's called us splendor, radiance, because we're going to receive that crown of glory, praise God. Majesty, absolute perfection, residing in, here it says it again, Christ. In Christ. And evidenced by the miracles that He performed. So there's going to be a resurrecting, returning, redeeming shepherd named Jesus. That's going to give us a crown of glory that will never fade away. And you have that available to you if you would just put it on. And all you do by putting it on is just have revelation and knowledge in your mind of who you are in Christ. That your Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. That let the Lord Jesus, your shepherd, just wants to have a relationship with you. He just wants to sit down with you. Instead of hearing all about your problems, he just kind of wants to be around you. He already knows your problems. He already knows my issues. He just wants to sit down. That's why our shepherd constantly was wanting to sit down at the dinner table. I mean, break bread, man. He just wants to, man, come and just dine with me for a minute. You don't have to tell me anything. I already know your issues. I know what you're going through. I just want to be around you, man. Now, then the devil, what does he do to the mind? You're not worthy because you made too many mistakes. Gosh, stupid devil. Can you say stupid in church? Yes. The word uses the word stupid, by the way. So what I'm saying is we've got to have a relationship with our shepherd. Amen. And when you do, you're not going to be stagnant. You're going to be so fired up. You're going to be ready to tell people about your shepherd. Yeah, there may be persecution that comes. Who gives a rip? I mean, who cares if there's a little persecution? Because Matthew says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I don't get persecuted out there on the road. You know why? Because they know where I stand. Oh, they've offered me alcohol like you've never seen. I'm around a drinking bunch, boy. Them steer ropers, they like to drink. In the early years, they didn't think I had any money. Yeah, I'll buy you one. You don't have to buy it, I got you. I said, no, I just don't drink. Well, now they know better. Why? Because I walk in it. You know why I walk in it? Because I have a relationship with my Savior, my shepherd. my redeeming, resurrected, returning shepherd. All because the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, that Mom sent that to me. And then we can dig into it one little bit at a time. And I only ministered, sir, on half of the first scripture. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for revelation that you're bringing to us as the church, as your sheep, because we declare the Lord is our shepherd. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the shepherd, your Savior, I want you to do it right now. And all the Word of God says to do is pray a prayer. We pray Romans 10:9 that says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus, the shepherd, from the grave. He raised him up, y'all. He's resurrected. It says, thou shalt be saved. So everybody at the sound in earshot, even watching, I want you to pray this prayer. Even believers, you're not getting saved again. You're just praying maybe with someone around you, but you're also learning this prayer. I want you to pray this prayer after me. You ready? Everybody in here, say this. But well, really, before I say this, if there's anybody in here that does not know Jesus, then ask Him to be the Lord of your life by praying the prayer with all of us. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of every sin. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I'm born again. I am saved. I am coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live here on this earth, I need a Savior. I need a friend. I need the Word of God. So thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord and being my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Before we say amen, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you just gave your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you not to be ashamed. I'm not going to have you walk down to the front of the church. I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting or standing. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus, then don't you dare be ashamed. When I count to three, I want you to raise your hand straight up and then put it right back down. When you raise it up, you're saying, God, I prayed that prayer. I asked Jesus to come into my life for the first time, and I'm born again now because I prayed it. And that's what you do when your hand is raised. So if you just did that for the very first time, then be brave enough to get that hand up. And here's why I say brave enough. So the Bible says, if you confess Jesus before men, you know what Jesus says? I'll confess you before the Father. So don't ever be ashamed that Jesus is your Lord. So if you just gave Him your life this morning by praying that prayer, at the count of three, get that hand up and put it right back down. One, with boldness. Two, three, go. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. Big time. Anybody else? I'm going to give you a Bible. Hallelujah. Appreciate you. Anybody else? Just get it up, put it back down. If you're online, you're watching us live, and you gave your heart to Jesus, I want you to tell us. Just message us if you can. If you're watching, I want you to just make a note. I love it when I see people watching from all over the country. So let us know. Now, look at me, everybody, and let's say amen. Ready? On the count of three. Amen. One, two, three. Go. Amen. Thank God people get saved, delivered, healed, and set free. Did y'all have a good time? I have...